Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?
Are you for third trimester abortions, or are you going to protect the lives of third trimester babies? Because, you know, there's really not a medical necessity for abortion. It's not a medical emergency procedure, because typically third trimester abortions take up to 3 days to have. So you would, in that sense, if there was an emergency, the doctors would just do a C-section and you don't have to kill the baby in that essence. So are you for or against third trimester abortions?
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes.
That's Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke on the campaign trail answering a pretty direct... Well, did he answer it? It's hard to tell if he answered the question or not. It was a direct question. Do you support or do you not support late-term abortions, third trimester abortions, these abortions that we've been talking about so much lately that can, depending on what state you live in, take place all the way up to the moment of natural birth? What did his answer mean? And why is it that every Democratic presidential hopeful for 2020 has in some form or another expressed support for third trimester abortions, late-term abortion? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Emily Jashinsky, culture editor for The Federalist, about that answer and the question that was posed to Beto O'Rourke here in the first few minutes of the program. Patrina Mosley joins us after that. We'll talk about abortion, Down syndrome. March 21st is World Down Syndrome Day. Then Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us for the continuation of our series on the book of Proverbs. We'll be talking today about wisdom as non-contextualization. You hear that term contextualize an awful lot. What exactly does it mean? He'll answer that question. We'll talk about wisdom. Well, the first part of wisdom being getting wisdom itself with him in our series on the book of Proverbs. Joining us to talk about Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke on late-term abortion, Emily Jashinsky. She's culture editor for The Federalist, author of a recent column titled Beto O'Rourke, Late-Term Abortions Should Be a Decision the Woman Makes About Her Own Body. Emily, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Describe the question that O'Rourke was asked and his answer.
Sure. He was on a campaign stop in Cleveland on Monday. He took a question from a woman in the audience who did about a 30-second spiel about late-term abortion and ended the question by saying, are you for or against third trimester abortions? O'Rourke's answer was very quick. He didn't spend a lot of time on it. He turned to the audience and said, the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And then he said, my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes about her own body. I trust her. That was his entire answer. He said something similar when pressed on it again yesterday at another campaign stop. But his answer was as simple as that. It should be a decision that the woman makes about her own body. I trust her.
Did he actually answer the question yes or no on his support for late-term abortion?
And that is an interesting part of it, right? Because he was asked, are you for or against third trimester abortion specifically? And he didn't even say anything about third trimester abortions. He just gave this broad line saying that should be a decision that the woman makes about her own body, which is interesting because he clearly seems to be going out of his way to avoid having that soundbite of him saying, I think third trimester abortions should be up to the woman. That should be the decision that a woman makes about her own body. He wants to frame it as a broader point about abortion, even though he's still affirmatively saying that it should indeed be, it should remain a woman's decision all the way up to that third trimester. He doesn't want that specific information in the soundbite or on the record.
How would you respond to O'Rourke's idea that when it comes to abortion period, we just need to trust women?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way the left wants to talk about abortion. That's the way a lot of 2020 Democrats want to talk about abortion, as though it's a matter of a woman's right, and they will even continue that line, and they speak in broad terms, and this is why Beto O'Rourke's answer is instructive, because he does want to talk about it in this broader terms as opposed to confronting the reality of what happens when you're conducting a third trimester abortion. This was a huge, the blow up in Virginia in January, this was a huge element of that, is that you had Democrats talking in these very cold terms about the realities of the procedure, which is so rare. And that's why you see someone like Beto O'Rourke going out of his way not to, you know, say third trimester abortions, just to talk about it in terms of reproductive rights in a broader frame. So I think, you know, personally, I think it's abhorrent. I think it's abhorrent the way these procedures are conducted. It's chilling. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, and public opinion polling reflects that, which is why, again, you hear someone like Beto O'Rourke trying to talk about it in broader terms rather than specific ones.
Why do you think that every one of those 2020 Democrats, as you have called them, those presidential candidates, this growing field of people who want to take on Donald Trump in 2020, why do you think so far every single one of them, in some form or another, has expressed support for abortion until birth?
Right. And they really have. And this is because when you're running in a primary, you're really catering to the base. And that happens on both sides of the aisle. You have to cater to the in some cases, you know, the fanatics, but the hardcore Democrats. And they are terrified because that Democratic base has gone so far to the left. They are absolutely terrified to say anything that suggests they would be willing to curtail what they refer to as abortion rights at all. They're so terrified of upsetting the base because they fear that that could be the impediment to them winning the nomination. So if you upset the hardliners in the progressive base, you are putting up a hurdle to ultimately winning the nomination. And in this day and age, curtailing, again, what they refer to as abortion rights at all is seen as something that would create a problem with the base, even in the third trimester. And so that's why you were seeing these lines from 2020 Democrats.
You mentioned public opinion. What do Americans think about late-term abortion?
This has played out over time. I mean, Gallup has some polling that shows, this is from 2018, I believe, it's about 13% of Americans believe that abortion should be legal in the third trimester. I think that number is 12% of American adult American women. 12% of adult American women believe that abortion should be legal in the third trimester. That's from Gallup. And that's been pretty constant over time. We found the same 13% number in 1996 in Gallup. So it's not like it's a shifting public opinion. It's been pretty constant that the vast majority of Americans oppose legality of third trimester abortion.
I recently spoke with a guest who pointed out that after the legislative attempt in Virginia, after the New York decision to make explicit in law what was already implicit in Roe v. Wade, that abortion is legal up until the moment of birth, he said that the most recent polling of even likely Democrat voters reacted against that, with more, in that case, more Democratic voters saying that they were pro-life when it came to the issue of late-term abortion. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. I mean, and when you're looking at a larger number of like 13% of all Americans, it does, you know, it seems logical that that would also include a huge share of Democrats. And so it's the question, if you are a Democrat running for the presidential nomination in the 2020 election, you see that the progressive base really is sort of steering the ship. But the question is, what proportion of the voters that you're going to need to convince in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina and in all the other states, really, are from that base? How powerful is the base in the 2020 election, and what share of the votes in the primaries that you're going to need to win do they constitute? And I think really because the base steers the ship, that's why they're afraid to get on their bad side or to say anything that might upset them. But in reality, a lot of their voters have not gone that far left, specifically on the issue of abortion. And that's hard for them to see.
Would you expect that after the primary season, when there is a candidate out of this large field of 2020 Democrats, that there might be a shift back to moderate that, to say something? Well, you know, I think we've gone too far or something like that. Because typically after the primaries, the candidate will run back toward the center.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I do think it depends on who the candidate is, because some of the candidates are so on the record as being, you know, just hardcore pro-abortionists that it would be difficult for them to even try walking it back. So I think it does depend on who the candidate in particular is. You know, maybe you see someone like Joe Biden. I don't even know if Beto O'Rourke would do it because his voting record is very, very pro. He has 100% rating from the infamous pro-choice lobbying group, NARAL, but he's kind of running in maybe a centrist lane. He's trying to shake things up a little bit, trying to shake up the party line a little bit. I don't even know if he would be able to walk back on abortion, because even someone like him from Texas does have this hardcore pro-choice record, as they would say. So it's a difficult thing, but it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, you moderate someone who's able to walk a little bit towards the center, that they would do that, because the population is just not with the Democratic base on this more broadly.
We witnessed the recent failure of Ben Sasse's bill in the Senate to protect a child that survives abortion, to protect their life, largely due to almost party line opposition from the Democratic Party. Has the Democratic Party support for abortion without restriction painted these Democratic candidates into a corner?
Yeah, and I would add, I think crucially, when it came to that particular bill from Ben Sasse, is the media aided the Democratic Party's ability to vote on a party line against that bill, because it was framed in the press exactly as Democrats wanted it framed, as an anti-abortion bill, when in fact it was protecting the lives of people who were born, who had survived abortions. There was really nothing in the bill about abortion, because the people it impacted, and I use the word people for a reason, had been born. And the media framed this as an abortion issue, which allowed Democrats to get away with taking a party line vote on something that really, the notion that it's controversial is mind-boggling and frankly sad. And so it's not just that the sort of Democrats in Washington that are afraid of their progressive base, it's not just that, it's also that the media, which is disproportionately progressive and liberal, helps them get away with it.
If President Trump decides to run again, and it looks as though he probably will, what does he need to do in debates with a potential Democratic opponent on this issue of late-term abortion? What does he need to say? How does he need to challenge the Democratic Party line on this?
I would revisit, in particular, probably his strongest debate moment. And those were three very entertaining debates he had against Hillary Clinton. But probably his strongest debate moment is when he confronted Hillary Clinton's record on abortion and talked about the specifics, and in very difficult terms, the specifics of the procedure, ripping babies out of the womb, I believe is what he said at the time. It was a very, very poignant moment. There's reporting that indicates his position on abortion has really been a genuine change of heart, that as the more he's gotten to know the pro-life community and the pro-life position, he's really had a change of heart on the issue. And I think that's probably what influenced his rhetoric in that particular debate. If he recreates that moment on the campaign trail, whether it's in a debate, whether it's in stump speeches, he will really, I think, motivate a lot of pro-life voters and a lot of voters, frankly, who are upset or disturbed by the Democratic Party's position on abortion. Because that, again, that moment in that debate was very poignant, and he did a strong job illustrating Clinton's position and the party's position.
Can the 2020 Democratic candidates on the campaign trail out there in primary season avoid this issue?
That's a good question. I think they can, because, of course, I think the mainstream media is complicit in allowing them to get away with doing things that they want to do. If they don't want to talk about abortion, I don't think the media often is going to press them into doing it. When they do want to talk about it, I think the media is happy to listen and happy to help them promote that. So if they try to downplay it, they may have the ability to do so. But there are all kinds of news outlets out there now, the Federalist, of course, my publication being one of them, that will be happy to broadcast the Democratic Party's extremist positions on abortion and to put them all over social media and to try to force them into talking about it. I would be optimistic as a pro-life person from that standpoint, hoping that there is a way to press them into it. But I do think that instinct is correct, that they will try to avoid talking about it, especially after the primaries.
Emily Jashinsky is culture editor for The Federalist, author of a recent column titled Beto O'Rourke, Late-Term Abortions Should Be a Decision the Woman Makes About Her Own Body. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Emily, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about abortion and Down syndrome. March 21st is World Down Syndrome Day. Petrina Mosley will join us.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.